Well, good morning, Remnant, and welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ here this Sunday morning, June 22nd, 2025. We thank you for joining us. We are into summer now. We hope you're having a hope you had a good spring. Hope you got your garden planted, maybe keeping it watered and seeing if we're getting some harvest out of that. But we thank you for joining us. We start out with the pistol prayer, and prayer is a big part. It needs to be a big part of our life today. And this is one of them. We've got this pistol prayer and the rifle prayer on a Bible bookmarker. We'd be glad to send it to you if you'd like it. I hope you'll join us. Lord Jesus, we pray with thy authority. We say, DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, Baals be broken and bound, with all idols be cast down. Stop the spells, send the spellcasters into hell. Jesus, cause it to be, and thank you. Thank you for the victory. And again, we thank you for joining us. And, you know, breaking news, just what was it, yesterday evening, last night? Maybe it's war. I don't know. We'll see. Jason, if you get a chance, if you could turn that monitor around for me. I forgot to do that this morning. But is it war? If you saw the headlines this morning, just last night, American strikes on Iranian nuclear sites, part of the Iran-Israel war, U.S. Air Force and Navy attacked multiple nuclear sites in Iran under the codename Operation Midnight Hammer. Had a couple pictures on it, and different reports from India and different places. What a mess. You know, as I mentioned about prayer, Jason put together a very heartfelt and sincere prayer just this last week, previous to these strikes, because, you know, we've heard the drums rattling, and our job is to do that, to, when these things happen, to seek our God. And we did that just this last week. Like I said, a very sincere, very simple and to the point, nothing super elaborate, just a plea for protection and wisdom and guidance to our God, for our people. And so we sent that out. We mailed it out to everybody that basically that we had contact with this year. And that's in the mail. We've emailed it out, and it's at the website as well. So we encourage you to take a look at that and to pray that. And I think Jason's going to share that a little bit later with us today in his message as well. But it is a time. And so when we see these things, when we experience these things, what are we to do? We're to turn back to the Word. That's what we should do. A couple scriptures here. John 14:27 talks about peace, the peace that we're to have. John 14:27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And that's one of the over 300 times that the scripture tells us not to fear, not to be afraid. So when we see these things happening, well, sometimes that fear can creep in, that pretty heavy concern. And when it does, we have to cast our cares upon Him. It's part of what we do as a Christian. We do. And then Psalms 34:17, I think is a good reminder as well. It says, "The Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles." We have to remember that. We have a God that's faithful. We have a God that provides. We have a God that has not forgotten His people in His new JERUSALEM, even though many of them have forgotten Him. And so His word holds true. And so just as the psalmist said, He rescues when we call out to Him for help. And then also in Psalm 34:10, it says, "Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Now, this works certainly on individuals, but, you know, I think it works as a people as well. It works for a people that when they will turn and look to Him and have godly leadership and hopefully turn, then they will, as it says, not lack any good thing. And a thing I saw in the news this last week was American-made timber kind of on the back in the focus, you might say. We have quite a bit here out in the West and up in the Northwest, and so. But I saw this headline: an old fight rekindled between environmentalists and loggers over a recent executive order on timber. The president's executive order seeks a 25% increase in timber production on federal lands, and that's where most timber production has always come from in this nation. The amount of timber harvested on Forest Service land has decreased nearly 80% since reaching a high in 1987. And let me ask you this. Guess what corresponds to that decrease in logging on federal land since 1987? And it's a very similar increase in wildfires. Okay, they go hand in hand. But, you know, American-made timber, that's what made this nation. It really is. I saw this old, I don't know what you call it, a lithograph, or it wasn't a picture, a drawing maybe, but it was. The wood was here to build this country, and it is here still. And, you know, the practices that go on now are certainly more environmental than they were in the past. Anyway, moving on with this article, I thought it was pretty interesting. It said, Canadian competition was on President Trump's mind in March when he signed an executive order to expand timber production on federal lands. "We don't need Canada's lumber," Trump said. "Our forests are massive, massive forests. We just aren't allowed to use them because of the environmental lunatics that stopped us." And I certainly had to agree with that, because that's just the cold, hard fact and truth. It's been that way. He goes on, "The executive order and implementation plans direct the Forest Service to increase timber production by 25% over the next 4 to 5 years. And a spokesperson for the Forest Service said the agency will strive to sell 4 billion board feet by fiscal year 28, a figure not reached since the early 90s. And that's kind of getting back to just in recent years, just back into the 80s, when we were producing lumber. We had lumber mills and lumber towns. We'll talk about that. And it's like everything else. It's like the textile mills that have gone, and the car manufacturing, and the battery, and the steel manufacturing that, well, they're gone. They're gone. You've heard Zach talk about it on Sunday morning, and some of us have lived through that. Now, some of the younger generation never saw that, but some of us have lived through it, and some older than me, well, they saw it even back in the heyday, the 50s and the 60s, when, you know, we led the world in production of these things. But on timber, here's Tyler Freeze, whose grandfather opened their family's first sawmill back in 1922, said federal agencies used to offer 200 million board feet for timber production just in Oregon's Santiam Canyon. That's one canyon. That's one forest worth. Now, he said, that's down to 1 million board feet a year, from 200 to 1. Now, that's a decrease. He said, "I remember as a child the amount of prosperity that existed within our rural communities. There was a lot of timber dollars flowing back in the day, and those dollars went directly into our local services." And I added, where is it now? Where are those dollars now? Where are those jobs now? They're not here. And recently, as at least 7 Oregon lumber mills closed in 2024 alone, cutting hundreds of jobs in rural parts of the state. Just across the Columbia River, a plywood mill in Washington slated to close this month, taking 81 jobs with it. And these are some of the last few. When you go from producing 200 million board feet of wood to one, well, you don't need the jobs. You need the service industries that go with it. And this has been part of the destruction that this is just highlighting it in the timber industry, because this is one more industry that at least now our new leadership in this nation is addressing and saying, hey, we need to bring these jobs back to America. We don't need to buy lumber from Canada. We've got it here. And these environmental lunatics, maybe they can go to Canada. And since these late 80s, we have, like the article said, decreased our timber cutting by 80%. Guess what? Wildfires, insects, and diseases are killing far more trees on federal lands than logging is, according to the Forest Service. That's especially true for old-growth trees, which have lost almost 1,400 square miles. That's 1,400 miles each way due to natural causes since 2000, according to a government report, compared to around 14 square miles of logging-related losses. Our forests are dying because we're not managing them, not because we're clear-cutting them, because we're not managing them, Smith said of the Forest Service. We're in a national wildfire crisis where millions of acres of national forest lands are overstocked because we haven't been managing them. We haven't been logging them, selective logging. And so since the 80s, we've seen a massive influx in wildfires. They go hand in hand. You don't log it anymore, it grows. It grows too dense, too thick. You don't use it. You don't manage it. You have massive wildfires. We've reported on those. You've seen them in the news. Some of you have lived through them. These things are there in this nation that God provided for us. It's just a matter of having the right leadership, the right people that will say, let's use this. Reminded me of the scripture here from Philippians. But my God shall supply all your need, not some, all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And this nation, the beauty of this nation, the natural resources that are there, creation itself cries out and glorifies God. It really does. Well, Remnant, remember about our network website. We always try to give you a quick reminder here. SFAWBN.com. And there's tons of information there, and as well as the Newswire. If you've got things happening in your neck of the woods, you let us know. If you're watching, you can see the email there, jason@sfaw.org. And we'd be glad to share the news articles and current events and breaking news happening in your neck of the woods. If you send them to us, we'll get those posted. And we encourage you to take a look there as well at the network website. And just tons of information there. It's updated quite a bit. Well, staying with this Made in America, I've seen a couple of headlines as well that, make me feel better for the future, at least in a secular way. At least, I like seeing that companies, and that's what we're going to talk about, are coming back to America for manufacturing and jobs and things like that, as opposed to, I remember when they started shutting them down and sending them to Mexico and sending them to China. And I tell you, this looks better. This feels better. It sounds better than closing them down and sending jobs out of the country. Okay? Whirlpool is a big one. U.S. manufacturing giant Whirlpool teases a big investment back into the American economy. Their CEO had a talk recently, talked about investing for the benefit of U.S. factories, U.S. products, U.S. consumers. Had a couple of quotes here. He said, frankly, we could have had the choice. Do we produce this? And this is the Whirlpool, Whirlpool, Maytag, what, washers, dryers, home appliances. He said, we had a choice. Do we produce it in Ohio? Do we produce this somewhere abroad? We will produce it in the United States. That is new products, capital investment products, but we'll also invest more in the automation and the update of our factories. He said, this year we went big, Whirlpool's Mark Bitzer said on this Thursday. With tariffs now finally coming into place and our trust and confidence in this administration will hold firm, we will invest more in the U.S. So we're about to make some big additional investments and also communication in favor of our U.S. factories. Because right now, very simply, economically, the business case for products made in the U.S. has just become a lot more attractive, and we will invest more. Now, that's not theory. That's not that's what the CEO of most people have a washer and dryer, a fridge. Some people have dishwashers. This is good. This is good to have them saying, hey, we're, you know, these guys want to make money, but they're American as well. And so they want that. More companies are moving manufacturing back to the United States. I saw this in a different report I wanted to share with you. It said, you know, one of the quotes was, having domestic control over supply chains and cutting dependencies on other countries provide greater opportunity and economic growth for the U.S. Automation proving to be a key asset in helping businesses reshore successfully. That means come back to the United States. Automation helps to decrease costs, increase efficiency, improve quality. Companies are realizing there's a great value in being able to say their products are made in the USA. And it is. It is. That is catching on. You're hearing it. They're paying a little more attention to those things. And not just the economist, not just the think tanks, but the CEOs, the people that are leading these companies are realizing it and seeing it. And just as they're looking to the future, they're saying, hey, you know, it's not just producing it as cheap as possible, but having a good quality, being able to make it here, provide jobs, and do these things. It's a change, and that's good. That's good. I think that's part of what we've seen is the change of the spirit in the land. It is. It is. Here's some of the companies, and, you know, I'm not real big on, like, Eli Lilly Pharmaceuticals at all, but a lot of people use them here in the country. They do. It's just that way. So just a list here real quick. Eli Lilly Pharma is doubling their U.S. manufacturing. Friedman Seating Company expanding in Chicago. That's like a $14 million expansion. Toyota opening a new battery plant in North Carolina. And if you remember, it wasn't that very long ago we reported that the last lead smelting plant in the United States closed down. One of the last battery plants had to close down as well. And so that's shifted around. You're seeing more batteries made in the United States, car batteries, big vehicle batteries, that, and Toyota is expanding into that as well. Electrocraft expanding in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Corning in Michigan expanding, adding I got the comma in the wrong place, 11,000 well-paying jobs in Saginaw. ES Foundry expanding in South Carolina. And TMEIS, Flex, ArcelorMittal, all expanding in the United States. And that's good. And that's good. That's better. It's a blessing from God is what it is. Because it's a different spirit in the land. You know, again, just in the 80s, you know, the spirit was, well, we've got to do it cheaper. And it'll be cheaper for Americans if we make cars in Mexico. That's what the car manufacturers were saying. And, of course, they were lying because the car prices just went up, and all that happened was we lost jobs and infrastructure and everything else here. But there's a change. There's a change. Even internationally, international companies are coming back and looking at a new wave of jobs and investment here. Said in recent months, a parade of international heavyweights, including Japan's SoftBank, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, TSMC, several oil-rich Gulf states and others have met with U.S. leaders, pledging billions, trillions to bolster the American economy. As of March of 2025, commitments from AI labs, chip factories, we're seeing those being built already, steel mills, and real estate ventures, showing, again, a huge change in foreign investment, taken money we've invested and bought their stuff with over the years, and that's turning back around. And so it's good. I think it is. It's good. I don't see a lot of this in the news. I don't watch a lot of news, but I had to dig for these things. I saw one email on it, and it was like, really? Is this really happening? I mean, we've heard our president talk about it, but I don't see a lot of it on the news. And wanted to share that with you this morning. And a couple more instances, let's see, SoftBank's funds, they're a big AI. That's the big growth these days, good or bad. But they're really growing in data centers and tech hubs in California and Texas. TSMC's Arizona plant's churning out chips. Remember, I know some people that have bought new vehicles, and they were like, well, we don't have all the chips for them, so you got to bring it back in 6 or 8 months when we get the chips for them. New vehicles. Well, now Arizona's looking to be doing chips for smartphones, cars, AI systems. And they're already built and underway. Nippon Steel, you've heard about them. And they're not buying out U.S. Steel. They're merging with them. And so that's better. That's better. And they're expanding in Pennsylvania and Ohio. Hyundai is exploring auto and steel manufacturing in the South. I think we reported they've got a new auto manufacturing down in the coastal Georgia area and building a steel plant, I think, down in Louisiana. And so building a steel plant in America, that's new. That's better. I thought it was interesting, too, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce noted that they're having they're still having skilled labor gaps between kind of a lag of workers. We see numbers where unemployment is down, people seeking jobs are down. But, you know, again, it's a shift that's going on. As these jobs come back, guess what? The certain generation is going to have to get off the couch, get out of daddy's basement, get out of mama's basement, and get a job and get to work. I like this, 2 Thessalonians. Well, like I said there at the bottom, the work is here. The work is here if people will work. 2 Thessalonians, we read, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, don't let him eat." And my hope is that as this shift, as this change in the spirit of the land, as we see there's more opportunity, the opportunity's there. Tech schools, trade schools are just expanding like crazy. They have waiting lists now to get into tech schools, and that's good. But this next verse here from Matthew has to be, it has to be for this to work. It has to be. Jason's going to touch base on it. He's got a message for you today as well. And so just keep that in mind. We'll get back to that, or he will in his message. But we'll look at this last one. It's my last scripture for this morning. But it's Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33, and it's seeking God first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And it's real simple. When we put God first, when we seek first his kingdom, when we start our day going to him, when we end our day going to him, when we look at things that not only benefit and bless us, but benefit and bless others as well, right? When we love God and we love our neighbor, that's putting God first. That's doing what we're supposed to do, being a doer of the word. Well, that's what I had for you this morning. Stay tuned. We've got a great timeless pulpit message for you. I think a recently renovated old video message, and I know you're going to like it, by Pastor Peters, and then a live message for you, Brother Jason, after that. So again, thanks for joining us here this June 22nd, 2025. God bless.
Jesus is coming. There's a long
Lightning and hell.